We'll do a lot of things tonight. I'm actually not sure exactly what path we're going to take. Well, let's start off with a passage that actually is not in the outline, and of course, I hope I have it, the correct memory on it. 1 Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians. No wonder they didn't look right. Okay, give me a moment. Yeah, here it is. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 7. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 7. We've been talking about evangelism, and there's so many misconceptions that brethren have of evangelism. Evangelism is a great work, but it's an immensely challenging work. And who would like to read 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 7 tonight? Tell me what translation you're using. Okay, Joe?
New King James.
New King James, okay.
Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase.
And so this is the core principle of all evangelism and all edification. So let's break this verse down a little bit. What was Paul's job in this verse? What was he doing? He planted. What was Apollos' job?
Water.
What was God's job? Give the increase. And I want you to notice that evangelism, ultimately, and edification go together. They're all part of a process. And the goal is heaven. The goal is becoming a Christian, living the Christian life, and crossing the finish line. And it involves lots of people. And one of the dangers that we face in evangelism is that we can think of it almost in terms of our society as just trying to sell a product to somebody. And to try to do it as impersonal as possible. Here, you could go to this and click on this and spend this money, and you get something. And that's okay. There's a place for that in our society. But what we're talking about is people. There's different kinds of work, even in the secular field, that are involve people. You got to get to know them. You got to work with them. You have to teach them. It's really important to understand the nature of the work. Our evangelism has got to involve all of you. I really want to make that point. The successful, one person can do it, but it really requires all of us. As we have people coming in these doors, and this is what I want to talk to them about tonight, if we are successful in the level of the advertising, and then have people walk through the doors, that doesn't mean we've had any success. Because what's the success measured by? Those that we help to go to heaven. And the more people we have here, the better. You know, we're taking a certain approach right now. We're going to emphasize services. Sunday morning services are going to be incredibly important in terms of not just me, but others helping. If we are successful, we'll have a lot of people. I would hate to have somebody come in here and we don't have anybody to talk to them. You know, this may not happen. The ads may not be, you know. I don't want you to have false expectations. No one may pay any attention to the ads. And it may be something that's good later for the website or other things. I don't know what results we're going to get. But it's going to involve us planting, watering, and guess what? If we were to judge Paul and Apollos by how successful they were, what was Paul's job? And what was Apollos' job? And so they're successful if they plant in water. The increase is from God. And you know what? We may make all this effort, and it may appear visibly that nothing's happened. And that's okay. If we're doing our planting and watering, God gives the increase. And you see, that's another thing, is let's tap down the expectations about numbers. I'm excited as we just have one new family with us, as we have others that come in. Maybe somebody else taught them and baptized them. And, you know, here we go along the line. We're going to be doing some watering, you know. Hey, just whatever we, just however, whatever step that we have, we take that. And we're not intimidated by the numbers game. And so that has driven me on my life as an evangelist. And I've really seen the power. You know, let's take an example. One godly mother, one, raising one child. And let's say other circumstances come up. Maybe the father was not as supportive, or maybe there's other circumstances. Maybe he was taken out of the picture for whatever reason. But she does her job in instilling faith in that one child. What is the potential over time of what that could mean? See, all I'm saying was, folks, is whatever God puts in our hand and whatever opportunities we have, let's do it well. And let's not get so excited like in terms of businesses. Oh, we want to have this business. It's going to multiply. It's going to do this. It's going to do that. Well, maybe that'll all happen. But you know what? If I can help some folks out, I'm talking about that as the church, I'm going to be happy with that. I think there's this passage that talks about do not despise the day of small things or something like that. I'm not quoting it quite right. But we need to understand how God works. Remember when the temple was about to be rebuilt? Remember, what was the result, Chris, when people saw the foundation? How did the people react to it?
The ones that remember the original temple cried.
Yeah. And the new people that hadn't seen it, what were they?
They were ecstatic.
Yeah. But see, what God told them, said, look, what size of the temple is it? It's not how much brick and mortar and whatever gold or silver you've got. Guess who's going to come to that temple? Son of God, and fulfilling God's eternal plan, that temple is going to have a greater glory. And see, I'm sure you being here in this church, you already understand that. It's not a matter of the bigger church, a nicer building, or so on, the most professional speaker. It's a matter of God's plan. It's a matter of building, a matter of knowing gospel. And so that, to me, is really key as we go forward in all of this. Tonight we're going to have a lot of discussion. I'm going to try to see if I can get some of these new commercials to play, talk a little bit about what we're trying to do with it. But I do also want to talk about, before we finish tonight, about things we specifically can do, some of the needs. So this is a little bit of review here. Let me click through a few slides, and then we're going to look at some of the commercials, and we're going to talk about specifics for us here. So let's see. One of the things I've already mentioned, evangelism will test us. Tap down the expectations. If there's somebody that comes in the door, let's try to connect with them, to show interest in them. But don't be surprised if they reject us. Don't be surprised if a lot of things happen. Show love for people. And could I say one more time? Now, having somebody come from an ad already filters out a lot. I mean, there's some common interest. They wouldn't be coming to us if there's not some common interest. And we're, in these ads we're running, we're going to be quoting Bible verses. We're going to be talking about Bible concepts. And so for somebody to come through our services, they're kind of hearing that. And I'm hoping we have that in common. So right now, the initial ads we're running is we're not trying to reach people who have no background in the Bible. I think our ads will bring in people who have some interest in the Bible. But even at that, there may be those that reject us, that we may have a bunch of visitors, but not end up necessarily having any baptized into Christ. Don't know how that's going to work. If you're going to baptize them into Christ, normally that's going to take a good while too. And we've, in order to get, let's say we get to a Bible study today. I'm just speaking today. What steps might need to be taken versus somebody coming to the door to agreeing to a study? Yes.
Mommy, yours just sent a text that said that the Zoom isn't working.
Ah, okay.
Or she asked.
All right, well, let me see what's going on. I had a lot of technical issues here.
Wait, who said it was working for him? So maybe it's just her.
Okay, let's see what we got here. Looks like we've got Oh, I haven't admitted, Molly. Somehow I didn't get it. Okay, she's coming in there. It was my mistake. I'm glad. Thank you, Molly, for texting. This is exactly what you should do, and we got you up here. Okay, we looked at so far 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 7. We've talked about how we need to know our place. There was planting. Paul planted, Paul is watered, God gave the increase, and we're trying to talk about expectations. Our expectations should be let's do use the talents we've got to help the people that we have contact with. And so that's what we've covered so far. And so we talk about an open door. We want to teach people. So here's the step. Here's the question I had. And thank you. Thank you. I'm glad she's in. The question we would have here is, what will it take versus somebody walking in the door, having an interest in the Bible, to getting to the point, well, let's say if they need to be baptized into Christ, what steps have to be taken to get a visitor from being a visitor to becoming a Christian? What are some of the steps? Let's talk about the visitor. The visitor walks up to the building. Really love the work that's been done here by so many of you. I think we've got a nice, presentable meeting place. Now, if somebody's looking for the grand, you know, Taj Mahal, then they might not even get in the door. And that's okay. You know, that's fine. Okay. Now they come into the door. What do they see? And what are they looking for? Be a visitor. I remember being a visitor once. I remember distinctly being a visitor once. I think you've heard this illustration, but let me give it to you again. It was a Wednesday night. No. It was a Sunday morning. And on that Sunday morning, I was nervous about being a visitor. I didn't know anyone. I came a little bit late on purpose. And did you know what? There was a student that came in a little bit late and saw me. And you know what he did? He introduced himself. And when he knew I was a student and I was a visitor, you know what next thing he did? Of course, we're talking about a bigger church here, okay? He says, we've got a student class. Why don't you come with me and let's go to class? And so I went to class with him, and guess what? He sat with me. Because I was like, I've never been to class here. What's it going to be about? You know, you kind of like don't know what you're going to expect. And then when services came, I know he had friends to do things with, but you know what he did? He said, come sit with me in services. And he did. And I'll never forget the Lord's Supper being passed, and I'm kind of like, what is this? Should I take of it? Am I making a mistake? Are people going to be mad at me if I take it? Or what do I do? Ever been a visitor? And so again, you know, I don't know what backgrounds we're going to have. But somebody took some time with me. And you know what? I don't know if he passed it on to the preacher or what, but I got invited to the preacher's house for lunch. I don't think I went that day. I might have. I can't remember. Now, a lot of people may not want to jump in that fast, okay? But feeling connection. And then eventually you really want to make some kind of association outside of services, if you can. Because let's face it, would you open your heart to a stranger of the issues and things you're struggling with or things you need to deal with? Would you do that with a complete stranger? And so typically people want to get to know you better. Now, I remember when I was in Lincoln, Nebraska, we had unlimited free TV time, and I'm not kidding. And we met all kinds of people. When we met every mental patient in the county. And you know, there were some people met with us one day and were baptized that one day. And a few weeks later, they're gone. And so most people, you know, if you're going to start the idea of a local church, you want to make people know God. You want to teach them. In order to teach them, they have to have some confidence in you. You've got to have some degree of association. Do you see how the long-term plan of a real conversion and a study process takes time? Now, it may be somebody already has the Word very strongly planted in them, and they have a lot of concepts about God, and we can go faster with them. But there's the scope. And that's why I presume probably what we're doing Sunday morning is going to be prime time, is what I'm thinking. People are going to be coming in the door. And all I'm saying is that we don't have to go give them some special presentation or anything like that, but just say, hey, how you doing? Good to meet you. You know, look for common ground if you can. One other thing I want to say, and I think you know this. You don't want that person to view themselves as some kind of commodity or some kind of project for our own personal pride just to get numbers. And what I'm saying, they need to know that we really care for them because they're a person. I really mean that. I've seen sometimes people never been evangelistic. Then the church has split. And they start off with a new, and guess what? These people who've never been evangelistic, but now we've got small numbers and we need to build numbers, guess what they suddenly become? They become evangelistic. Oh, come to church. Oh, it's great to have you here. But, you know, again, I'm not judging hearts. Maybe that split made their heart change. But it also may be that we need numbers. Therefore, I'll show interest in you. Do you understand what I'm saying here? A genuine interest in people and a person's salvation. It'll make you more careful, more wise, make you wise. But people can almost sense if there's some project or there's some trophy. That, yeah, here we got another member. That's not how we work. And so, again, even if somebody says no to the gospel, I still love them. Even if somebody says no to the gospel, I still want to be their neighbor. Do you understand what I'm saying? The idea of really wanting to help others' lives. If somebody says no to the gospel now, they may not say no to the gospel later. I've seen that very commonly. So that's the kind of doors we're talking about. And I will say this, as you do this, some of the greatest rewards and some of the greatest hurt. I remember the one that responded real quickly to the TV ad. I got to know him. I was doing 2 studies a week with him. I was working with him and his wife. His wife is getting close to obeying the gospel. And by the way, this man had a background in alcoholism. And he had an uncle who was a preacher in a denomination that was an active alcoholic. And he came in 2 weeks and stayed with this man. And guess what? Boom, he cut us off just like that. I can remember it's just like somebody took a sword and goes, we were getting close. We were helping this family. And then boom. That's where sometimes, you know, we got to lean on one another. So some of that's going to happen too, okay? You can see the emotion of Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians where he didn't know which direction the church was going to go. That some of the greatest burdens that you read about in 2 Corinthians, he didn't know how the Corinthians are going to react to his preaching and to his letter that he wrote. Evangelism is wonderful, but it has its burden. And so basically what we're talking about here, there's one other thing. Let's talk about, in general, let's just speak of a church, let's say, that decides we want numbers. If that is the priority, how would a church act if they say we want numbers? What might they do? Let's say Bible teaches things on marriage, divorce, remarriage. Or the Bible teaches things about telling the truth. Yeah, it's negotiable because if growth is the priority, then, you know, we may need to just back off on some of those things. Now, I'll say this, and by the way, you get better preacher. You want to offer better things, you need to, you know, but here, if the goal is heaven, what have we done if we bring people in and we don't tell them what they need? We haven't done very well, have we?
There's no watering going on.
Huh?
There's no watering going on.
Yes. There's no planning either. It's converting people to men, to relationships. And here's to put it, it's great. Here, watering is the truth. John 8:31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word and you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We want the truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth. I'm going to start to get into the courthouse, the old courthouse saying, at least you see on TV. You know, but you really want the truth. And notice what happens when we decide, and this is what's the whole thrust of the book of Galatians, there were Jewish Christians that wanted to downplay the gospel. They wanted Christians to become Jews. They wanted to maintain the circumcision as a command of God, which it was no longer that. And notice, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. I can't water it down. You watch brethren start doing that. They stop preaching on marriage. They stop preaching on morality. And then eventually they stop preaching on baptism. And they give it all up. And it's more like what's the churches that are the most successful churches in numbers today do this. They take a survey of the community. They find out what they want. And that's the thing they preach. And even though this group allegedly believes these other things, but the things that are not acceptable publicly, they kind of want to sneak up on people. They never preach these things publicly, but privately in small groups they may talk to some people. For instance, in Pentecostalism, they strongly believe in the speaking of tongues and these other things they claim they can do. You never see it in these mega churches that is their core beliefs. You never see it taught nor demonstrated. That's not what we're doing. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't start off as somebody that may have a problem in a marriage relationship or maybe have some problem in some other area. I don't start with dealing with their sin, okay, per se. I want them to understand who Jesus is. I want them to come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. But in the process of teaching, I do want them to understand they need to, what's the R word? Repent. And you got to see the bad news before you see the good news. So again, true evangelism is a process. And so we always keep ourselves before God. If we'll do that, we'll make the right choices. The choices in our thinking of others, being available for others, working with others. It's really important. It's a team effort. But you see, I like how this congregation has been built. I appreciate the people who've gone. We were here initially, and then people who've gone before me. I appreciate the great work that's been done. And so you know already, we're not doing everything just to please everybody. We're trying to follow God. Comments so far. I'm doing a little bit of preaching, but comments on principle. Okay, now, we get them in the door. They connect. We want to show interest in them. And so now let's get into another area, if we could. Chris, I'm going to ask a favor of you. Would you go in the back and grab a visitor's card from the rack, if you would? Those long visitor's cards. We've just had some new visitor's cards put together. So I'm going to show you a few things I want to ask you to be aware of and do. And we're here now. We're going to talk about logistics here. Okay, we're talking about specifically right here. Okay, what are some of the things we can do as we have visitors? First off, if you can, give them a visitor's card. We've got some newly designed visitor's cards that will have information. Again, you don't want to go, here, fill this out. Yeah. Okay, you know, some people may not want to fill out a visitor's card. We need to have pens. We'd be good if we could get them to fill it out. You know, we've had visitors' cards given to some of our visitors that we really need to make contact with, and they didn't fill it out. And now they've come and gone, and we have no way of contacting them. And some are going to be a student at UVA, and I'm kind of like, I don't know how always we can get contact information, but if we can get contact information, then we could touch bases with them. We could let them know of interest, you know, having, particularly with students. Yvette and I were pretty good, particularly Yvette, as we talk about students at Auburn. We'd have as many as 150 new students, not 150 new, but as many as 80 new students in a quarter. Imagine that. But guess what? We knew they were coming ahead of time. We had contact information. They were considering it. We kept in contact with them. We got to know the parents. You know, there's a whole process here of relationships that really help. Did you have a comment?
Thinking, you know, you're talking about putting yourself in the shoes of somebody who's visiting.
Yes.
I feel like with contact information anymore, it's so common for you to get spam cell phone calls and spam email, and there's so much connectivity that a lot of people are really burnt out on that.
Yeah.
But one thing that I think would be reassuring to me if I were a visitor is if I were handed a visitor card for somebody to say, not can you please fill this out, but can you please leave us however you feel comfortable with us contacting you on here, if there's a way that's better for you, because it kind of gives them a little bit of understanding that we're not trying to barrage them via any way that we can. Like, we genuinely want to make a connection that is a good way to communicate with them as a person and not just as a means to flood their inbox.
I like that. It's a great idea. Something we haven't done even in Auburn. You know, you definitely want to know how to contact them, what they feel comfortable with. Obviously, they've come to services. They may not feel comfortable filling out a visitor's card, but let's get a visitor card and pin to them. That's something we want to have put together. Let's find a way to talk to them. You know, of course, y'all are a friendly group. Right now, if we only got one or two visitors, I think we're good. You know, sometimes people stand in line, you know, to try to talk with others. That's good. But we do need, in particular, to, and I think Sunday morning is going to be a critical time there to make contact with others. Okay, and see, the follow-up is very important, too. One of the things we're going to do, and again, I was going to have Yvette do this, but we could talk about this. Again, we're doing this out of trying to get to connect to people and be kind to people. This is not like, again, some business arrangement. We're trying to get demographics in order to try to take advantage of somebody. But the more information we have, the better. I think as you do visit with somebody and talk with somebody, I know I'd love to talk with you about that if we have a visitor that I may be the one trying to study with. I'd love to learn some things that you know. I think it's really good if you can find common ground as you're visiting with somebody. It may be, I know that we had one visitor, and unfortunately that one dropped off the map, but I know we had one young man that came in and his interest was baseball, and Travis was interested was in baseball, and they got together a few times after services, did some baseball things. And I know that was genuine. You know, was it just because we wanted, you know, this one was actually a Christian that had been baptized in the past and is living in this area. And we had parents come, had visitors cards from them. And so this is good. The more contacts, relationships, particularly with solid Christians we would have, it's a better chance to get to know them and work with them. You know, I know that's what we did as students in Auburn. If we knew their parents, particularly if their parents had confidence in myself or Walker's, one of the two elders, we've had a pretty good chance of keeping that student. Not that we ran to the parents all the time, but there was a relationship, so there was mutual respect that really helped. Okay, some other things about people walking in. Now, here's another big one, okay. And don't want to make you feel bad to hear here. But the back pews, when we have visitors, so you're okay tonight. But as the back pews, as we have visitors, I think they're going to be comfortable with the back pews, but let's be mindful of that. Now, you know, I'm hoping there's a problem in getting seated, and I hope that's the case. That's why we got some more chairs. You know, we've had a few times where we had some difficulty sitting, but typically our visitors they may want to be in the back. Certainly those with young children that are maybe trying to get, let's talk about that. Let's talk about a parent with young children who's not used to their child being in services. How about that one? We've seen that, haven't we? And wonderful, you know, desire, I want to be here, want to have my child be in Bible classes. There are going to be some things. Sometimes it may take another mother or woman to sit back and help, but you know, having a place where rather than the less up front and the back. So just be mindful of that. Don't be afraid. Don't be mind of giving your seat up. If we have an incredible situation where we have not enough seats, let some of us sit on the floor if we need to or do whatever. I don't know we'll hit that, but you know, these are things we've got to anticipate as we go through the process. What are some other things you can think about? A visitor walking in, we want to get them a visitor's card. We want to make sure they're seated, have a good comfortable seat. Some other things that...
Well, you brought parking, maybe.
Oh, yes, parking.
Parking away or making it not look full. I mean, you know.
Excellent.
Martin told me something I'd never heard before, is if the parking looks full, they'll just keep driving.
Yes. Yes, and that is true. So we're doing a pretty good job of that, or we're parking back and giving these front slots to visitors. But let's be mindful, if we have a whole bunch of cars, we can just park on the front side and walk around if we need to. It's an excellent point. And it's the same thing about a building. If somebody, if the back pews are taken, you know, you could crowd out potential prospects. Yeah, you know. I'm the kind of guy, of course, with my hearing and everything else, I think this is the 50-yard line right here. But some people think that's the 50-yard line back there. You know, you want to get the 50-yard line seat. And so, okay.
Or at least sitting at the in the middle of the section, not leaving the ends open.
Okay, middle as well. That's great. That's good. That's good. Good ideas. Good. That's why we want to have this discussion. Be thinking about this. Be aware. Again, we're going to try to centralize contact information. We're going to try to, if we can get it, centralize it. I'd love, there may be little tidbits that you would have. Let me tell you some things I do. Okay, I'm just going to give you the student approach that we have when we had new student come to Auburn. We went to social media and tried to see if they were on social media. Now, if they were already coming to Auburn and they knew us, I'd ask to be their friend. I think another thing, though, if there are other Christians that I know that know them. It was like George and dealing with your wife. You know, as we first met you know, she had a Facebook account. And going to that Facebook account, there's all kinds of people in common that we knew. I wished I'd had a chance to talk about some of those people.
Oh, yeah.
And
I knew a lot.
Yeah.
I've been a lot of places. I've been in Florida, Pennsylvania, and Missouri, and now I'm back in Virginia.
Yes.
I know a lot of people.
Yes.
I keep calling my people in Missouri all the time that I went to church with.
Yes.
And I keep in touch with everybody, because the more I keep in touch with them, is the more strength that they'll have to keep on keeping on. There's a lot of them that, you know, need encouragement every day. I mean, we need encouragement every day. I mean,
yes.
It's a common thing. And our best thing is always have love. I don't care if the person seems like a bad person. You got to constantly have that love. For that person, it's just like being my daughter. I have more love for my daughter than she'll ever know. But she is not on the same page I am.
But she does love you.
I'm working on it.
She does love you. I appreciate her.
I'm very confident that eventually I'll get her to see the right way to be before she passes away from this earth.
Yes.
My wife I ain't worried about, because I know where she went.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. There you go.
I'm a very strong person in the Lord. Believe me, I am.
Yes.
And sometimes I feel like I ought to just come here and show you people what it's really about. It's really a love for one another, and to continue to have that love for one another.
That's right.
Jesus loved even the guy that was going to betray him. He cared about him. He could have got rid of him if he'd have wanted to, but he didn't want to, because he knew all this had to happen so that we would be able to get to the Father.
Yes.
It's so amazing. The Bible's so amazing. It's so beautiful of the life he laid down for us. And it's a tremendous thing that he did it. But I can't hardly see how a father could let a son go like that. But he did.
Yeah.
And you know why he did it? Because he loved us.
Yes, yes.
It's a love. And like I told the church many times, we seem like we've gotten away from the love we should have for our neighbors. Every neighbor, we should love them.
Yeah.
But you can't hardly talk to neighbors sometimes. You can't hardly say a word to them.
Okay.
Because they don't want to be around you. They don't want to know about Jesus Christ.
And here, precisely, what you're talking about is precisely how I'm constructing these ads. I do believe before the pandemic, we are already in the loneliest generation in the history of this country. The statistics and so on. And then you go through this isolation and all this poisonous politics. And we're, I believe there's some people ready, they want something, and what they want is love.
They need love, but they don't know how to open up and get it. They don't know how to open up to get that love. And I've always thought that people lost it. A long time ago when I was growing up, it seemed like we had people that loved everybody. Because when I was growing up on a farm in Missouri, everybody came to your house and they... Women would bring in stuff to eat and everything, and all of a sudden it just went away. And I think it's all because of that.
I think there's a lot of reasons. But see, George, this is precisely why I think we're going to be successful. Is there are people who are tired of the empty life.
I may have to come back and forth. I don't know.
Well, come on. We need you. We need you here. I'll tell you. You'll be good. Sunday mornings in particular. So
I'm telling you, I love the Lord with all my heart and all my soul, and I always will.
Yes. Well, anyway, but this is the thing. I really do believe there are people going to come to us broken and hurting. I'm kind of hoping to hit on exactly what you were saying of things they can remember in their past, things they can remember what once were. And that's exactly my thinking in the ads. And so let me try to do something if I could. And I hope this, I mean, we're having such a good discussion, I'm almost reluctant to do this. Let's see if this works. This may not work, okay? Let's see if I can play one of the ads for you. Let's see, here's one that deals with hallowed ground. Let's see if it'll play. If not, you'll see that later on your own. Let's see if it'll work. Audio's not going to work. No, it's not going to work. Okay, that's okay. Good. We'll go back to discussion. John 13. And I'll get this going next time, but you know, you can look at it. A lot of these ads are really trying to reach out to people to rethink their relationships altogether. And John 13 is exactly what George said here. 33, I believe. Let's make sure. Here we are. John 13, 34 and 35. Who would like to read? John 13, 34, 35. Chris, okay.
New American Standard.
Mm-hmm.
A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
Let me give you an example, George. And again, I'm so thankful. And I realize my neighborhood are people that many are religious that I move into, but I would disagree with doctrinally. But when I moved into my little neighborhood up in Caradon, up in Rutgersville, it almost like I went back in the past 50 years.
I
started unloading my moving van, and neighbor came up. We want to help. And he helped. And then next time we brought the second moving van in, we got it like at 4 o'clock in the morning, so we went to bed, and there's a note on my door. Let me know when you're going to unload, and we want to be there to help. And so he brings his daughter and his wife and others, and there are other people dropped in. And we've got a little Facebook group, and we're kind of talking to one another. We see one another. And again, I realize there's things in our culture that has changed all of that. But I'm so delighted to be in a neighborhood, the people who know you and show interest. Now I realize that's secular, that's not. But there's several religious people. I'm looking forward to maybe doing a Bible reading where we might get some of our neighbors and do a Bible reading up there. But you see, what people are looking for, we want them to know the Lord, okay? This is not us. You know, the Mormonism would try to draw people in because we're going to give you instant family and things like that. And they do a lot of things, but they don't draw them to the Lord. And in my strong view. And so we want to draw people to the Lord. And so let's be aware. Who knows what's going to happen? I'm going to try to think of that, or we can have somebody else do this. We're going to try to keep a database of what we know that we can share comfortably and not violate confidence, but at least have contact information. I'd like to know as much as possible, you know, as I'm working with others. And that's our next step, is we have people come in. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen Friday. Martin and I are going to have a conference call with the NBC representative. We're hoping to set up a contract, and we're going to go very soon in having these ads. If you haven't gotten a link yet to the ads, text me and I'll just send you a little thing that's got those links. You can look at what we're doing. I can give you the script of it. And let's see what happens. You know? Comments. Other comments. Great, great points. Yes.
One thing that I thought of as you were talking, because I had a conversation at work today that made me think of this, is that I think after the events of the last 2 years, both with the pandemic and politically and all this type of thing, I think that there are some people who recognize or have some type of unrealized desire to have a standard again.
Yes, yes.
They maybe can't put it into words exactly what it is, but
yes,
the way that they talk about secular things, sometimes it's fueled by this desire for there to be some kind of standard of right and wrong again, whereas maybe previous to this, people had been happy to just let each other go their own way. I think there may be some people that are ready to hear that, maybe more so than a few years ago.
That's going to be a major emphasis. We're going to have, by the way, a entry website, ncvchurch.com, that's going to have 9 of the commercials up there, an article that I'm going to write and more lengthy about what each article means. But we're going to emphasize that of going back to Bible. There's a 15-second or 30-second ad that I'm in front of the building here where I talk about our intent is to drop all denominational creeds and names and standards and go back to the Bible alone. And are you interested in taking this stand with us? And so the idea is emphasis of going back to what possibly has been abandoned. And so that restoration concept, I do think you're right. That I think now people know things have gone wrong. They're not happy with where things are going. And I think the idea of going back to the standard is going to be appeal to some. And that's what we're looking for. I pray that we have some response. Now, let's talk about one more thing. Because George talked, I love George, you, this is the core. What you mentioned is the core of what we need is love. Now, what do we do if we get ugly things happen? Personal rejection. I don't know if we're going to have some sort of public thing to happen, but we are in Charlottesville. And in a few months, there's about to be a trial that's going to have worldwide attention of this supremacist group, the guy that killed a person, and they're going to have the trial here. And it's going to be a circus. I doubt we're going to make any attention by that, but we are going to be running ads on local TV. And so what we want to do when people are ugly to us is we want to show the kindness of Jesus. We want to be kind. We do not want to be ugly. We want to be wise. And so again, this preparation I'm giving you now may not be necessary, but I will say this, it will be necessary when you get personally rejected. I remember that one I told you I worked with for weeks and suddenly his uncle came in and he cut you off. That really hurt. And it was really hard not to kind of, you know, be snappy at him or something like that. And so let's be mindful of that. There will be positive and negative reaction. We're in Charlottesville. We're not in the Bible Belt. Columbus, Georgia is where they did these ads before, and they got visitors every service for a few years through the ads. They got a lot of contacts from it. But we may be getting a different kind of response today. There are groups now that think they're doing great politically by blocking traffic and shutting down things or coming into a service and shouting people down and doing things like that. I don't know, we're very small fish. I don't think that will happen. But if it does, again, we're going to act out of love. Chris?
Speaking to the idea of the planting and watering and God giving the increase, we would all love to be ones that taught somebody and saw them respond to the,
yeah,
you know, see them respond to the gospel and become faithful members of the Lord's church.
Yes.
But it often doesn't happen that way.
No, it doesn't.
And we may not know the result of our efforts,
mm-hmm,
but God knows what our efforts are going to be.
Yes.
When we do labor for Him. And so on that basis, we should never become discouraged because we're not seeing the numbers grow and our personal knowledge of somebody being saved occurring.
Yeah. Some of the greatest opportunities I had came from apparent rejection. Even if we have a contact that comes in here and they're the kind of like the quick, the shallow soul. They get really excited for a while. Oh, this is the greatest thing in the world. And they cut you off. Sometimes they may know people, and you may make connections to whom they know in a short period of time. And it's others that they know. It's just all about relationships and time and working with people and having realistic expectations. Let me tell you the greatest fear I have, okay? I don't fear people angrily responding to our ads. I don't fear a few people responding to our ads. I fear us being totally ignored, you know. And how you handle bad things actually are going to be probably the key to having good things. Because I told you the story, I tell it again, where we sent out a bulletin, and the guy called and said, look, why'd you send me this bulletin? Take me off the mailing list. Now, that's pretty short. Okay, yeah, I took him off the mailing list. But then I called him back, and then he talked with me and explained what he did. And we ended up, through that discussion, he put me in contact with an organization that ended up, we had a debate in Lincoln, Nebraska. 1,600 people came, and we were a group about this size. And we had television, newspaper coverage, and it was a very positive thing. Baptized a few from it, reached all kinds of people, had all kinds of contacts. So how you react to the negative side would be a real key. You never know. What does the Bible say when we are good to people that are bad to us? Romans 12. When we repay good to those who do us evil. What do we do?
I've had a lot of them that tell me, I'm sorry, but don't put nothing on my door. Yes. You might as well just take that off. Yes. And I say, well, that's, you know, you can't feel bad because he wants to take off. But
yes.
You say, I was trying to get you converted into realizing where you're at.
Yes.
But a lot of them, you know, one of them had a dog, and I was afraid the dog was going to get me because he left the dog out where I was at. But the dog never bit me, but he said, I'm not interested in whatever you're giving out, so I'm not interested.
That's right.
And I'm saying to myself, every time I did that, why couldn't you realize that I was trying to do the God's thing, not for myself? I didn't care for myself. I just cared that maybe I can convert somebody. Yes. But there was a lot of them I put things on their doors that they kept.
Yes. Let me mention one more thing along these lines. I remember when I worked at O'Neill Steel, I didn't do it for a show, but I would read my Bible at lunch. I would try to talk with people. I remember there was a young man about my age that drove by right at my house going to work, and I kind of indicated a desire maybe we could ride together, but he had no interest. He really cold-shouldered me. But after a few weeks, I remember him finally getting down with me, and he had been troubled. Had a friend that died in his arms that had been drunk driving and heard about the wreck and went out, and man had been ejected from the car and he was holding him as he died, and then he wanted to talk to me. It's interesting. Sometimes people may initially reject you, but they see the kindness, they see your life, and that later they'll come back and want to talk to you. And then when I was in high school, I was ugly to one of the young men in the band that was a drummer, but he was very religious, and I was negative to him because he was a good guy. But guess what? When I finally changed my heart and my life, guess one of the first churches I went to go visit. So again, remember that. Opportunities come in strange ways, you know. They come in strange ways, and so let's always reflect Christ. There's a lot more we can talk about and logistics and things along those lines, and we will. I think we've gone to a good time. Great discussion tonight. I appreciate everybody's participation. I don't know if we're going to go another week on this. I know that Chris has been doing Sunday morning. I've been doing Wednesday night. We've been talking about possibly switching those. We'll let you know how that goes. And I've got a new topic. I haven't quite determined yet. I'm thinking about doing one on the apostles. But there's another possibility I may do in light of the potential visitors that we have. And so I'm still praying about that. And I appreciate all the feedback y'all have given me personally and through the sheet that was filled out in the back over the last few months. All right, well, let's have a closing prayer if we